is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two, Usual Suspects, teed up and ready to go. Let's drive. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday, getting ready for Way Back Wednesday, where we have to pick a theme
between now and the end
of the show.
A couple of texts. For mosquitoes, you can use Telstar. That was from Pest Control Guy. Just thought I'd
What is that, Star Trek?
No.
Telstar.
Telstar.
What the hell are you talking about?
It's best coming from a spray power rig.
Nanu Nanu?
No. Somebody said you want to see Traumatized because we were talking about the fighters, Michael Chiesa suing.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
You want to see Traumatized? Call Barry Fat. Okay.
That would be
I don't think so. I was going to say, yeah.
That'd
the
be
picture
me.
That went out was...
Oh, not flattering of either one
of
us.
Either one of us.
God awful.
And I'm all right. I was a mailman. These are a couple of texts from 9/11 when we were talking about people remembering where they were.
Yeah.
I was a mailman and it was strange carrying my route that day. No airplanes, no noise. It was the quiet outside. Very odd. You don't realize that you hear airplanes without knowing it.
Yeah, we live by an airport, so we hear them all the time. And yeah, that would be really weird.
Just nothing. I know that 9/11... We'll always have a feeling of horror on this day, but I also have the pleasure of celebrating my daughter's first birthday today. Aw, congratulations,
happy birthday,
man. Yeah, that's great. Barry, that song got to me. Like Joel said, all I could think about was my little girl. I'm holding back tears while trying to sell beer. Sad, great song, NASCAR Johnny. Yeah, sorry about that, bud. That's what it's about, though. It's about remembering.
That's the thing. We wanted to make sure that it made the impression so that people don't forget, because it was such a monumental day. All right, let's switch gears a little bit. Here's a guy that I highly respect and have had the pleasure of having on the show in the past, but here's a guy that knows his stuff that's always good when we talk about injuries in the NFL. Former team doctor for the San Diego Chargers, Dr. David Chow, is going to join us right now. You can follow him at Pro Football Doc, and I really encourage that you do so, because between pieces like the one that I read yesterday in the San Diego Union Tribune and just overall the tweets that he gives you when he sees an injury in the NFL can help you kind of put a little bit of a framework around what you're dealing with injuries. Dr. Chow, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for working with me on the time. I am sorry it was a little bit helter-skelter. I still practice and juggling patients and other
things. You
mean
you're dealing with patients now after all this popularity because of all these tweets and articles and things? I mean, who's got time for patients?
Well, you know, it is what it is.
Break it down for the listeners a little bit. Obviously, everybody here gives me a hard time because I'm a Packers fan, but you really kind of helped put some real clarity to me in terms of the Rodgers injury simply because you were breaking down the brace, the fact that he went back in the game. I know there's a lot of people waiting right now to hear from fantasy perspectives and otherwise if he's going to play this week, but kind of give a synopsis of what you saw and what you think of the Rodgers injury.
Well, you know, fans are fanatics for a reason, right? And the pendulum swung one way hard of the sky is falling because he limped off and then was taken off in a cart. And then there were reports that's his previously torn ACL knee where he had surgery and a recent surgery. And then factor in last year's clavicle fracture, and there was a lot of doom and gloom going on. Looking at the video, I didn't see the doom and gloom. Based on the mechanism of injury, it did not see that to be a serious injury. What I mean by serious as in season ending, it appeared to be a low-grade MCL sprain, which obviously hobbled him in the second half. And to me, the amazing thing is, look, his entire footwork and throwing mechanics were changed, and he couldn't be even under center. Yet he was dropping dimes and throwing rainbows, and his accuracy wasn't affected. So that was pretty fantastic. But then, of course, after the game, he said he's going to play next week, and everyone started to forget about it. I wrote an article saying it's a low-grade MCL. Yeah, I think he's going to play next week, but he's not going to be 100%. He's going to be hobbled with his mobility for at least 2 to 4 weeks. And then, once again, the sky is falling yesterday because Mike McCarthy said, you know, we haven't made any determination about Aaron Rodgers playing yet, et cetera, et cetera. And the sky was falling again. And I said, look, relax. No coach makes a medical determination on a player on Monday. That's normal. You got to give it some time. But my expectation of what I said and in the article at profootballdoc.com at the LA Times / Union Tribune still holds. I think he's going to be okay, but he's not going to be as mobile as he was in the past.
Talk a little bit about also Doug Baldwin had a knee issue. They said a source said a grade two MCL tear. Does that mean I don't understand the difference between a grade one, grade two, and whatnot? Is this something? Is this season ending for Doug Baldwin?
No, mild, moderate, severe. You could call one, two, and three. So they're calling it moderate, or someone in media is calling it moderate. It's a matter of, I think it's a low grade two, if anything. Remember, he stayed in the game for a while before he came out. And this is Doug Baldwin. He knows how to deal with knee issues. Admittedly, it's his other knee that's been chronically at 80 to 85%. The article I wrote, and I'm not trying to pump the thing, I'm just trying to give more context,
sure,
that I wrote on Sunday, I think still stands. Everyone was tweeting at me and saying, look, you got it wrong. You talked about a sprained MCL, and this report is a partial tear. Well, a sprain is a partial tear. They're interchangeable, just different degrees. So he's not going to need surgery. There's no chance he will go on IR for this, or IR designated for return. I still expect him to be back a week or two at most absence. And, you know, will he be 100% effective right from the get-go and some of his routes will be altered? Maybe, but this is not a long-term thing. What I wrote and what I saw on Sunday really didn't change with those reports of the grade two partial tear.
What about a guy like Carson Wentz, Doc? We know that obviously the Eagle fans are chomping at the bit because Nick Foles didn't look great in week one, but we know that a lot of the regular season success and how far this team goes is completely based upon the health of Carson Wentz.
Well, you know, from the get-go, the day it happened, I said it was more than an ACL and there was no way he'd be 100% week one. He could be a pocket quarterback, but no way he'd be the run-pass guy he was. And that, unfortunately, is coming true. He's doing really well in rehab. Because he tore two of four ligaments, he's actually ahead of where he should be. But this is where he is, and this is why 2 weeks into the preseason, I said he's not going to play week one. And right now, you know, there's a lot of reports out there maybe of playing week three. I'd take the over. It would not at all surprise me. And once again, I've written about it and at the Pro Football Doc podcast talked about it and even analyzed video of why he's not ready today and how he's, you know, warming up pregame, et cetera. I would not at all be surprised if it's week seven after the Thursday night game or week 10 after the week nine bye.
Oh, wow. Hey, one more question before we let you go, Doc. Specific here to Houston, Kevin Johnson, another concussion. That's a couple already in a short amount of time. What's your outlook long term for a guy like Kevin Johnson that has suffered so many concussions in such a short amount of time in a short career?
Well, concussions are like snowflakes. No two are the same, so each one's going to get treated individually. Jim Muntz and Walt Lowe and company are going to make the right decision. But when you have two close together, there's a longer sit-out time. So that's fairly automatic, and that's for his safety. So hopefully things will clear up and his symptoms go away quickly and he can come back in a few weeks or a month. But, you know, they're tricky and they're hard to deal with, but, you know, you guys got a good medical staff. Now, I'm surprised. I thought when you guys called and were hot, you were going to try and talk about Central Henderson or, you know, but I guess O-linemen in this world of fantasy don't matter as much anymore.
Well, honestly, Doc, in Houston, the O-line is already such a catastrophe that I don't think people can look for much hope when you get to that position group in with the Texans. But you did mention two great people that I'm very fond of, too, and Doc Muntz and Doc Lowe, and we'll put you right in that category. We really appreciate you spending some time with us, getting to some of these injuries in the NFL. And at any time, you're welcome on the show. We'd love to have you back periodically to check in on some of these injuries across the league.
All right, thank you.
There you go, Dr. David Chow. Follow him at Pro Football Doc on Twitter. A great follow, as during the games, as injuries happen, he's already getting out there with tweets to give you guys some perspective if it's a player on one of your fantasy teams or maybe one of your favorite teams. So we'll continue to roll on. We've got plenty more to get to. We got Astros to talk about and a whole lot more. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, where you can call and text, or you can hit us on Twitter. Right now, I do want to tell you about my good friend at Infuse Energy. Josh Pestikoff and his staff do a fantastic job. How do I know? Well, because I made the switch to Infuse Energy about a year ago, and I can tell you that the amount of money that I've saved last year to this year has been over $1,000. I'll put it that way. It's been fantastic, and it's all because of the fact that they care. From the minute that you get on the phone with them, when you call 844-INFUSE2, that's 844-463-8732, you get a live human being on the phone, not an automated system, and they start asking you questions. When you use energy the most, when you use it the least, is it for business, is it for your family, your kids, your wife, when do they use energy a lot? And then they go from there. They formulate a program. They try and get you in a contract that's comfortable for you, that makes sense for your family, and is at a rate that you guys can afford. And then they go from there. Throughout the process, they're going to communicate with you. They're going to be like an honest friend. And sometimes that means they're going to be so honest that they're going to tell you that there's cheaper competition out there that you should check into. But for the most part, they're always going to be there for you, and they're going to tell you that they have the best rates, they have a great contract, and they're going to take care of you before, during, and after you sign your name on the dotted line. Check them out, infuseenergy.com. They can give you all the details. You get a week-by-week email that tells you your energy usage, the hours that you used it the most and the least, and you can compare so that you can keep the data and the numbers and keep a running track of what's going on with your energy use in your house. It's fantastic. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit, and you go from there. Simply, it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that always has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN
97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspect. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday. Weather outside not looking so good, boys. That storm is heading our direction. They say by the end of the week, Nick, and I say this with you out of town because you might need to prepare on the way back, that weather's not looking so good.
I saw that. I saw Fred even tweet that. He's like, I hope I don't have to come back from Vegas early because of this. So hopefully this thing turns, or I don't know.
Well, we're definitely going to get a lot of rain over the next week. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, too, when everybody's, it used to be when I, especially when I first moved here, because now it's hurricane season, you're like, eh. And then all of a sudden, you not only have been through the most devastating hurricane the city's ever seen, but then, what do they call it, the 500-year storm instead of the 100-year storm.
They said the rains we got, I was reading an article because somebody posted about how in order to prevent flooding, you're just going to have to sacrifice some of Houston or something like that. But two things that stood out from that article is it was a 10,000-year flood. In other words,
yeah,
it would only flood like that once every 10,000 years, yeah, or the amount of rainfall we got. And that Houston got so much rain that the entire city sunk a half inch temporarily while the rain was sitting on top of our city.
That's amazing to me that happened. Saying now is in the Carolinas, one of the three hurricanes that are preparing to come towards the United States is going to hit, and they think it could be the severity level of the hurricane that hit Houston a year ago.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah, so that's really bad news. A lot of sporting events being canceled for the weekend. I know Duke canceled their football game.
A lot of Carolina.
So that's going on. But then there's another one that's formulating and that's coming towards Houston, and that's supposed to bring just a ton of rain at the end of the week through the weekend. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on as we continue to roll forward with this week, with just a little heads up for you peeps out there.
I'll be honest with you, man, and this is probably not the way to treat it, but for us, we got close to flooding, but we did not flood in the house. Like, it was, you know, a couple feet from the door, or I say a couple feet. It was probably 5 feet in the yard from the door or whatever. So I don't think we were – it was close to me, but – Is it wrong that I after that I go, we'll never flood? No, there's no way anything is ever going to be worse than Hurricane Harvey.
It's a little scary for you. I tell you what's wrong. I almost got into a fight yesterday because of this. Because some dude was hoping that Houston would flood again.
What?
And his reasoning behind it was because he's like in this business of like laying line that pays like $75 or $80 an hour, 16-hour days. Like 2-3 weeks at a time. Apparently, he's going to North Carolina, and
so he was just selfishly looking out for himself.
It took took me everything to not punch the guy in his throat. But
yeah, what a dick.
What an a-hole.
But it's just funny that you talk about it now because it just happened. It literally just happened last night. I wanted to punch him in his face so bad.
Why didn't you?
He's a bigger dude. I mean, he's with my ass.
Punch and run, my ass. Punch and run.
Yeah, punch him in the
throat. Punch and run.
What is that?
And you then punch him in the throat. By the time he gets done trying to get his wind back, you're gone.
Nose, make the eyes water.
I just kept telling him not to say it.
Yeah.
But he kept saying it. He has a truck and a business, and that's what he does.
There's this false sense of security that I have now that since we didn't flood during Harvey, because I imagine there's some people that didn't flood during Alicia that flooded during Harvey or didn't flood in the tax day floods.
Alicia, wasn't that like in the 80s?
Yeah, but I'm saying the tax day floods or the Memorial Day floods, people that didn't flood in any of those flooded in Harvey, and they were probably thinking, if I didn't flood in any of those, I'm never going to flood.
Sometimes, man, and I'm guilty of this too, you got to kind of get hit in the face to realize the significance of something. And that's honestly, I'm sorry, I hate to say it, some people, they need to see water in the house for them to realize how I was frightened the whole time. Like, I'm still nervous now.
I'll tell you this. I know one thing I did. I made sure that I renewed our flood insurance because I didn't have it last time around, if you remember. And I was with a big 5-gallon bucket swooping water off of my pool every hour for days on end because I was freaked the hell out. Because like you said, it started coming up the driveway. It didn't get to us. So you got to believe, hey, it's not going to unless if that storm was that big, but you never know. And boy, I did not sleep for days with that one.
I wonder if a swimming pool could be at your advantage. Like you empty out all the water and hope some of it consumes some of it.
I had called on it. It's the wrong time to find out you can't run a reversal on my pool the way it's set up and drain water.
Well, they also said that you shouldn't do that if you've gotten a lot of rain because your pool can float. The water gets into the ground underneath the pool.
Mess up like the foundation of it.
The water that's in there keeps the pool weighted down. Ooh. If you drain the pool when the ground is that wet, your pool could like pop up or it could mess it up. I remember because after Harvey, we were at, we went to one of the neighbor's houses just randomly in the neighborhood just to help them clean up and tear out sheetrock and stuff. And this guy was draining his pool. Somebody was like, no, don't do that. Like, you're going to ruin your pool if you drain it. So I was like, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm sure there's pool people out there that can validate that. But, yeah, don't drain your pool if the ground's real wet.
Yeah, I did not know that either, but maybe that was a blessing in itself because I found out the hard way when one of my buddies called me and was like, dude, all you got to do is run the reversal on your pump system. You can pump the water out. Then you won't have to be using the bucket area. And I'm like, seriously? So then I called my pool guy, and he's like, yeah, you don't have that on your pump, but don't worry about it. I've looked at your pool a million times. It's not getting anywhere close to the house. I'm like, because it's flowing over the lip right now, smart guy. Whoo, I was freaked out about that.
Yeah, that would make me a little nervous. Now, I don't know. It'd be different maybe if you, like now, if you went out and drained your pool in advance of a lot of rain. That might be different. But
the thing is, you don't even know. Because like the way at my house, and Joel, it sounds like that at your house, the water was coming up front, from the front, not necessarily from the back. I mean, in a way, it seems like it would have to kind of consume your house a little bit first before it got to the back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it just depends. But I'm not an expert on
this. I'm just saying. I was only worried about the pool overflowing. But yeah, you're right. Because it was coming up from the front. And again, being on the corner and finding out through the process that our house is elevated, when you look at how it hit the rest of the street, you're like, you don't know until you get to that point. It's not something you think about. But you're like, man, thank God for that. I had no clue. But it's nice to know that it was at least elevated so I could see it, which, like Nick, like you said, watching the front was where I was really focused in terms of the water coming up. But where I had to work was on the back because the pool's in ground.
Another thing to check, too, if you have your deed restrictions, you can look. Because when we built, they required us to build our house 18 inches above the street. So we had to have somebody come out and shoot from the street level across, and then we had to build... We had to fill in because our lot was sunken in. So we had to fill it in and then add 18 inches above that. Yeah. So that too can help. Because then I'm watching the street. And if there was no water in the street, then I knew I was at least above 18 inches above whatever water was filling up already.
And
so
I've heard some neighborhoods like mine or like older neighborhoods, like my house was built in the 80s. You can't elevate it unless your house has been flooded. And then you can, like when you rebuild, you can elevate it.
Oh, so, really? Yeah.
Yeah. But.
Yeah, because you cause runoff on the other lot.
Have you seen the
lots.
Price of that, by the way?
What, to raise
so
your
like
foundation?
A lot of these people in Bel Air with the raising the foundation.
Oh, that's all over the city of Bel Air.
Six figures easy, kids.
Oh, yeah.
Like God, it's expensive.
I would just rebuild.
And then there's that the whole controversy because one of the companies was taking everybody's money and signing them up, and then they went out of business. Yeah. The dude died that ran the company, and everybody's sitting there going, now what? That's awful. And now we got more rain coming. All right, we're going to give away something after the break. How about that? More to give away because you are why we do what we do. We appreciate you, so we'll be back with the second half of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Powwow money, that's expensive taste. And them friendly fools, we send them to MySpace.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we promised, so that's what we're going to do. Nick, bring us back real quick, please.
90 in the rear, 90 in the future.
No, God.
He's still bringing the rear end to this.
I don't.
90 in the books. 90 still to go in the big show as we head to the second half of the program. We appreciate you sticking with us. And we do like to give back to you the usual suspects that make this all possible. So therefore, another chance for you to win. I don't know if you heard about this or not, but the legends of tennis are coming to Houston with the Invesco QQQ. Okay? It's the Invesco QQQ Tennis Series. It's actually a pretty cool deal, man, because some of these names are going to ring a bell with some of you people. You can win a pair of tickets to see Johnny Mack, John McEnroe, Andy Roddick, Jim Courier, and James Blake compete in a unique one-night tournament. It's October the 5th. It's at Rice University at Tudor Fieldhouse. You can win the tickets, and you're entered into the grand prize drawing to go to the VIP Houston Players Party with full buffet, open bar, and a Q&A with the players. A very, very cool deal. It's a timelessly unique event. If you're a tennis fan or you ever have been, you'll recognize those names. I would love to meet John McEnroe. I think that would be very cool.
Right.
He was obviously big time when he was on top of his game. You can also purchase the tickets at Ticketmaster.com, but we're going to give away two right now to caller number 17. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Caller 17, you get two tickets to the Invesco QQQ Tennis Series coming up on October the 5th. Good luck.
Several people validating the thought process on the pools.
Yeah.
I know Josh Rapp did.
Yeah, Anal Fissure on Twitter said, pool dude here, don't do it. I've seen them float up to 4 feet after major floods, and the homeowner wanted to clean it ASAP. Don't do it.
Wow.
Also got a text that said, pool guy here, the pool thing is true. I work in the pool industry and can vouch for this. The pool will literally pop up about a foot, mainly because of the weight difference. Do not drain the pool. So there you go. We're learning. We're doing things. Speaking of that, somebody said, hey, Barry, I stay in spring like you do. Do you have snake problems? Our neighbor just killed a coral snake. Can I put anything out to repel them without damaging the yard?
So now you're doing pest control, reptile control. You're doing lawn care advice. You're doing everything now. Ridiculous.
Bear, I'd like to tell you about those evil varmints that you have flying around in your yard that need to be killed as soon as possible with a bazooka-sized weapon.
Here's what I know about snakes, all right? All I know is if you have rat snakes, which will have a grayish head and like gray diamonds on their back, then you have a rat problem. If you don't have rat snakes, that means they've moved on to go find rats somewhere else. I don't know about coral snakes.
What's your little rhyme about the colors?
It's red and black friend of Jack. Black and yellow kill a fella.
Yeah.
So if the black and the yellow on the snake touch, it's a poisonous snake. If the red and the black touch, it's non-poisonous. Look, now Nick is interested. He's like, oh, really?
I mean, when I went camping, we saw a snake.
Now you're interested. He's like, oh, wait a minute.
No. When my mom and I come out of the lake, and then this snake just, I'm going to use the word erect, okay? But that it just jumps up like a foot, but there's still like half of its body like rolled up.
What kind of snake was it?
It was tiny. I don't know.
Well, what
I
was
freaked
the,
out though.
Did it have colors like red and black and yellow, or was it all?
It was like
gray?
Brownish. Like it kind of looked like.
Oh, that's a water moccasin. Those are poisonous.
Yes, they are.
Did it look like it had Hershey Kisses on its back?
I don't know.
Because if you see Hershey's Kisses, that's a cottonmouth or a water moccasin. Those are poisonous.
Yeah, Lake Buchanan.
I'm well versed. When you live out in the wild animal kingdom like me, you have to look these things up and learn them. So I don't know about specifically for coral snakes. I will defer to our smarter. Pest control folks that listen, they would probably have that answer, not me.
Okay.
Somebody said pest guy here placed mothballs around the perimeter of the house. I have heard that. I did that for the rat snakes and then realized I would rather have rat snakes than rats. So I didn't kill the rat snakes. I just let them do their thing.
I was just going to say, don't you just let them do their thing and then go away?
My brother-in-law, Shane, works for HFD, and they had a rat problem at one of their firehouses. So instead of getting an exterminator, they went out and got some rat snakes and just let them go. And then pretty soon, all the rats were gone, and so were the snakes. They were done. They moved on to go find more rats. So, yeah.
That's enough on the snakes.
Are you scared of snakes?
Yeah. I'm openly admitting.
I'm not a fan.
Not a fan.
What like, about, so like
when because I don't know if they're poisonous or not.
Well, and I just told you how to tell.
I'm gonna tell you something. Yeah, though.
That's what I'm gonna depend on your advice. Man, no,
I played golf.
I mean, pretty much everything I just told you was dead on accurate, including the Hershey Kisses.
Well, Nick doesn't want to be dead on accurate to a snake.
He just said that a snake got an erection. What he knows absolutely nothing about snakes.
I said it.
You said it got an erection. The snake. Yeah, you said briefly. It got an erection. It went erect. That's has nothing to do. Snakes don't even have a penis, Nick.
It doesn't have to be that, a penis. Right?
Nick, trouser snake is just an expression. Oh. It's slang. It's not a python. Nick. It's not what you think it is, okay? Nick's I just like, want you to slow down.
Nick's like, I went camping and I got attacked by a trouser snake. Did it bite you? No, but it poked me like 59 times in a row.
I thought it was the
really
s'mores.
Really fast. I'm not going to lie. It didn't bother me.
I thought it was the s'mores. I had added peanut butter and thought the whole thing was just a mess.
Whatever.
I got bit 59 times by a trouser
snake. I've golfed all over the place, and well, lizards and iguanas and all that, nothing. But I'm going to tell you right now, like especially in Vegas, when you are entering a hazard and you hear that,
yeah.
And I'm like, nope, I'll take the penalty and a free drop, but I ain't going in there.
No, sir. That and gators in Florida and Vegas.
Yeah, they do. And like my buddy once tore his ACL, but his surgery wasn't scheduled for like a month and a half. So he's like, I'm just going to keep playing. So he wanted to play golf with us. So he's limping around the course, but he's one of those wildlife types. So we had a gator come up at Meadowbrook Farms in Katy. We had a gator come up on the green and he goes up, and starts screwing with it. We're like, bro, what are you doing? And he's like, it's not going to hurt me and I can outrun him. I'm like, you got a torn ACL and you don't realize gators can get like over 20 miles an hour on the ground when they get going.
Well, was it a tear or was it a sprain? Because you might be able to run on just a sprain.
Thank you, Dr. Nick.
Thanks, Dr. Chow. I mean, but overall, we were like, I just want to, now then we were like, you know what? We kind of want to see the gator turn on him. Just see if he really had to deal with it. Like, come on, peg leg. Go ahead and see if he really does turn on you. Because we're not helping you.
They're fast. I would not do that. They're fast.
No. By the way, somebody said it's red and yellow kill a fellow. Not black and yellow. I thought it was black
You were going to kill me. You're going to have. Well, I was going to die.
Yeah.
If I took your advice, I'd be dead right now.
Red touch black, friend of Jack, red and yellow kill a fellow. There you go. What am I, a snake expert?
Nick, you should probably cover, by the way, that Legends of Tennis Invesco QQQ
totally
Classic.
Should.
No.
Nick, let me point that out before you go and say no real quick, okay? Yo Adrian points out, Andy Roddick's married to Brooklyn Decker. Brooklyn Decker's probably going to be there. Not too tough on the eyes, sir. Just want to let you know.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Former SI model.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know when this tennis event is. Is it this weekend?
It's October the 5th. You got time. It's at Rice, so you know when you get done taking classes over there for your master's, you can pop on over and see some tennis.
Would never go there for my master's.
No.
Where would you go? DeVry?
I couldn't get in. No, I would go to Wisconsin Rugby. You a hole.
Okay, it's fine. You might get a quality education.
DeVry. Who goes to DeVry?
University of Phoenix.
That's Barry's
school,
right?
No.
It was DeVry?
Lone Star.
Same thing. University of Phoenix, Lone Star, DeVry. All of those are in the same category. Was it ITT or ATT Tech? Whatever.
ITT Tech.
Whatever.
Not the same.
Same garbage.
Lone Star, highly reputable, sought after college.
DeVry is known as the Harvard of the internet, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
No, that was University of Phoenix. And that was Vince Vaughn who said that, I think.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it?
And was it the internship? The movie was the internship.
When they were at Google? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good movie.
All right, we're going to continue to roll on. We appreciate y'all being a part of it. And if you want to join and get in on the fray, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, where you can call, you can text, or we are available on Twitter, so you can follow us and do that as well. We'll be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Let's go.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday. Having some fun here on The Usual Suspects. Talked a whole lot of football. If you missed it, we had Dr. Chow on, who is the former team doctor of the San Diego Chargers. He gave us some background on some injuries like Kevin Johnson and such, so Aaron Rodgers and such. So check that out. We have yet to talk baseball, Barry, but some takeaways from the game last night. And then with the lineup just coming out for the game tonight in Detroit, interesting. I don't know. Did you see any of the Astros game last night?
I did. And let me guess, George Springer not in the lineup.
Correct.
Did you see my tweet last night?
I did not.
After his final at bat, as he's walking to the field, he's holding his arm and his hand, his left hand, kind of favoring it. And I tweeted out, look, I know I'm just speculating here, but it really looks like he might have hurt his hand, and I hope that it's nothing serious, but keep an eye on that. Lo and behold, he's not in the lineup today. Not a good sign.
I had said it to Lisa, because if you go back in at bat or two, in the middle of the game, he also had a swing where he stayed in the box. It was during the middle of an at-bat where one hand came flying off of the bat and he kind of screamed a little bit. And you're like, every single time it just echoes in my head that they said that this is a lingering injury that's not going away till the end of the season.
Yeah.
So it's something you got to keep an eye on. Now, Tony Kemp is in center field tonight for okay. Springer. So
who's in left?
Marwin.
Okay.
And we never really talked about it, by the way, in that Red Sox game.
Yep.
What the hell was he thinking, barehanding that ball and not diving for it? I slow-mo'd it and freeze-framed it about five times going, that was close enough because of the fact that it's going to be determined anyway that the run's going to score. Take a dive at that ball.
Yeah, my exact tweet or thought on that was specifically if Tony Kemp's in the game right there, he either is fast enough to get to that ball or at least dives to make the catch. How many times have you seen Tony Kemp make a ridiculous play or at least go after a ball and give you 100% effort in the field? I just felt like Marwin didn't.
He half-assed it.
It was reminiscent of Cameron Mabry in the playoffs last
year. Yep.
When he didn't go after a ball. And my argument at the time was Marwin Gonzalez goes after that. And look what Marwin does. He doesn't go after that. So
you're
now down to Tony Kemp as our savior in left field, going after balls that he could get to.
When you look at it, Marwin's got a cannon.
Yeah.
But Tony Kemp is the more sensible outfielder. And you're kind of sacrificing one for the other. But you can't use your cannon if you try and barehand a ball like an infielder.
Yeah.
On a key point in the game where the glove transfer after fielding, it's not going to be that much of a difference. He's got a hose. He doesn't even get a chance to use it because he tried to barehand it.
Here's the thing. Even if you one-hop it in the glove or if you barehand it, you're probably not getting the runner. The only play here...
Dive for it.
Dive. Yep. If it gets past you, then it wasn't going to be... You probably weren't getting them anyways. So you dive for the ball. That's my big beef about that. And the fact that Tony Kemp, to me, would have been a better defensive replacement as far as range in the outfield at that time.
But. Other interesting notes in the lineup for tonight. Correa has been slid once again to the five spot. He's hitting 172 since he injured his back and missed those 29-plus games. He continues to scuffle. So now he's down to the five spot again, not in the top four. Tyler White remains in the lineup as the designated hitter. He has been on a tear. In the second half since the All-Star break, he's hitting .333 with 9 bombs and 32 ribbies. It's ridiculous. You look at this, and you know, we just got done talking about last week about how Breggs is the the MVP of the Astros for this season, that he's going to be a top five MVP candidate because of the way he's just stepped up huge for this team when they needed him all year. But you talk about the unsung heroes. Talk about a guy named Tony Kemp, a guy that's hitting 283, a guy that no one thought was going to be anything at all at the plate, just a utility fill-in pinch runner and maybe a defensive replacement late in game.
Well, he hadn't done anything.
Because his offense was so skeptical every time he got called up.
His history wasn't one that led you to believe he was going to be anything more than a backup utility fill-in defensive replacement or pinch runner.
Instead, he's not only hitting 283. AJ calls his number the other night in Boston in a pinch-hitting role, comes up clutch, does a lot of great things all year long, and the other guy's Tyler White, because another guy that you could just take out what we just said about Tony Kemp and insert Tyler White and go, here's a guy when he gets to the big leagues, he just can't hit. But instead, in the second half of the season, to be hitting 233, to be putting up more than half of his home runs and RBIs since the All-Star break, where would they be without those two guys?
He had a 1.096 OPS in August, did Tyler White. That's getting it done. Yep. Hit 325. I mean, his August was spectacular, especially for a guy that you weren't expecting big contributions from, because he hadn't shown you anything other than when he first came to the bigs and he had, you know, a week where I think he won Player of the Week his first week in the bigs a couple of years ago. Was it 2015?
Mm-hmm.
And really hadn't done anything since then. So good to see that some of these guys that you know have been getting playing time in the majors the last couple of years are finally paying dividends.
And two other tips of the cap while you're at it. One guy has to go to AJ Hinch, because he has pressed the right buttons almost all season long. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got Marwin, found a spot for Marwin when he needed him, but he's found a way to make sure that Tyler White's in the lineup. Tony Kemp, as I mentioned, when he goes for pinch hitters or when he puts Kemp in the lineup, he seems to perform and step up big. So that's definitely another one. And here's the other one. Completely take everything off the field away, but Osuna has pretty much solidified your closer position. He has come through. I think he's got four or five saves already this month. For the most part, he's been pretty damn good since the Astros got him.
I don't know if I would give AJ Hinch the credit for that.
No, I'm not giving Hinch the credit for that. I'm saying there's another guy to add to the list of a guy that has come and stepped up in the last, you know, 30, 60 days when they really needed to solidify the pen.
Well, I mean, you knew that he could get the job done. You knew he was a legitimate.
But you didn't know he still could this year. He had a lot of things going on emotionally, mentally.
Off the field, I think, is completely different. But his on-the-field stuff never wavered. He was never a guy that you thought, uh-oh, maybe he's losing it. I mean, he was a guy. His stuff is all. He's always been a top 10 closer in baseball since he became a closer. It was. Is he going to fit in? And maybe that was where the turmoil came, or you thought might come from, or he might not fit in on this team, and maybe they don't want him here. But
well, I was going to say that's another thing emotionally that you got to deal with.
It looks like now. Yeah. I mean, when you look at the post game high fives, and he's doing the floss dance with everybody, and looks like he's fitting in just fine. So,
yeah. So those guys all get huge tips of the cap for the way they've been playing. And the other thing is, we were talking about Springer and he's resting tonight, but you hope it's not long term, because again, Nick and I were talking in the break, you're only three up in the loss column. Mm-hmm. You cannot relax.
It's crazy.
You know, it's not last year. So it's going to be interesting to see, because Oakland just continues to play better and better. They did not play last night, so that's one thing to notate. And the last takeaway from the game last night was classy move by the Tigers, doing the tribute video to Justin Verlander.
Very nice.
And also the fact that AJ Hinch mentioned in his postgame, he had never seen Verlander stop for anyone or anything when leaving the bullpen to head to the dugout prior to a start. And the minute that Verlander saw the tribute video, he stopped. He took it all in. He tipped his cap. You could tell, very emotional night last night for Verlander.
Yeah, well, I mean, and rightfully so. I mean, he played his whole career there. That was home. That was home for a very long time. So I understood it, and I did like the fact that after the seventh inning coming off the field, the fans started clapping for him. I think everyone in the building knew that he was not going to come out for the eighth inning, and he even stopped, took the hat off, tipped the cap, and acknowledged the fans and thanked them for the ovation. And yeah, it was cool. It was good to see that. You worry about that sometimes. I guess as a player, you leave a city and you think, are they going to hate me now that I've gone? And it had to be reassuring for him to see that that's not the case.
And all the Verlander jerseys, even on the young kids. Yeah, they were all the over plate. The place, behind the dugout. Yeah, they were all over. So that's always a neat thing, too. So the Astros are back at it. Framber Valdez on the hill, looking to stay high for your Houston Astros. All right, two in the books, one to go, 1 hour left of the show. Don't go anywhere. 60 minutes on the clock, and we'll be right back. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Boy. ESPN 97.5.